This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Plenty to talk about. We've reached the end of the week, and I'm looking at the currencies at the moment, Nick, and the one that really stands out for me is the strength of the yen. What is behind that?
Yeah, just to take a look across the board here, the yen is strong against most major currencies. Just to pull up JXY for those who are avid chartists, this is the Japanese yen index on your favorite charting platform. What we see here is the Japanese yen is up about 0.6% at an index level. When we look at individual crosses, of course, the one most people care about, the dollar yen down 0.61%. So dollar losing some ground here against the Japanese yen, trading at 161.4. It had reached a high point of 162.8. The yen is not only strong against the dollar, though, it's strong against the euro, strong against the pound, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, Kiwi dollar. So we are seeing across the board some strength for the Japanese yen. And also, interestingly, coming at the same time as a little bit of weakness in yields for Japan. And as far as I understand it, the idea here, the strength in the Japanese yen, is investors seeing a little bit more confidence from the Ministry of Finance, Bank of Japan, the officials there in Japan wanting to defend the currency. Perhaps the market is now taking a little bit of their words seriously. And what I mean by that is that we had seen numerous times before this likely intervention from the Bank of Japan, and the Japanese yen strengthens for a very brief moment before, again, it sinks back to fresh lows. Today could potentially be marking the Bank of Japan saying we've had enough and wanting to defend the currency more aggressively. One of the promises is, of course, the idea that more interest rate hikes will come and the quote-unquote repatriation trade of the Japanese yen. There seems to be numerous efforts going towards keeping money at home, bringing investment back locally, and this is, in essence, the idea that the reverse carry trade concept, right? The popular foreign exchange world equivalent of this is to sell or borrow the Japanese yen and to deploy that capital in foreign places, whether it be foreign bonds or foreign stocks, real estate, etc. This has been a trade that has been very popularized for many years. But if the Bank of Japan does get more serious about raising rates or keeping rates steady, or to combat localized inflation and the never-ending weakness, it seems, in the Japanese yen, this could reverse course things a little bit on things like dollar yen, which had reached just recently a many, many year high of 162 briefly being traded on the Japanese yen versus the dollar. I mean, these are very high levels that the Bank of Japan doesn't seem very happy about. Unhappiness with the exchange rate could lead to more intervention, but perhaps more notably here, some actual movements from the Bank of Japan to hike interest rates. That's what investors, traders are watching here. And there are some ramifications here, Johnny, to the rest of the market from this in the idea that if the Bank of Japan decides now is the time to strengthen the yen, to combat more seriously this inflation problem and to raise rates, what does that mean for the rest of the world? Well, it probably means that Japan, being one of the largest U.S. Treasury holders, may have to buy yen through selling treasuries and selling dollars, right? To raise that capital to defend their own currency, you have to think, where is that money going to come from? Well, it's going to come from selling foreign treasuries, notably the U.S. treasuries that they are very big buyers of. And that poses some risks. It adds a new piece to the chessboard, if you will, of global markets, because what we're looking at here is a situation where if one of the biggest, you know, buyers of U.S. treasuries, that being Japan, not to mention China, who is also pulled back on spending, if they're buying of U.S. treasuries, if they pull back on that, it could lead to higher interest rates here locally in the US, and not just in the US. That would probably drag other places higher as well. If a big buyer of foreign treasuries or US treasuries, let's say, steps back from the podium of bidding up buying treasuries so aggressively, then naturally what could happen is bond prices could fall and bond yields could rise. And that is not an attractive thing, especially when we know that many administrations, not just the U.S. administration, but the U.K. where you're at, or Europe, higher yields are not a comfortable thing to grapple with, as higher rates can be economically suppressing. So it's a very big story that we've talked on and off about for quite some time. And now I think market participants, investors, traders, FX world people are watching this really closely, because if the Bank of Japan gets more serious, it could take us down a path of higher rates, not just in the US, but globally.
Meanwhile, Nick, we've had some jobs data from Canada, which we always like to have a good eye on, bearing in mind it sometimes gives an indication for the rest of North America. And actually, the jobs number was better than expected.
That's right. We saw 18.2K jobs added to the Canadian economy. That, of course, is for the prior month. Forecasts were just 11.2. So this was a significant beat in that regard. But maybe, if not more important, is the unemployment rate, which is previously was at 6.6%. It was expected to stay there this morning at 6.6, but instead dropped down to 6.5%. So a bit of an upbeat report in regards to what's going on in Canada. And like you said, if that gives us any indication of perhaps a bit of uptick in hiring in North America, that could be a positive in that regards for the U.S. as well. So we'll keep a close eye on that.
Before we talk about the week ahead, Nick, we have over the last few days been contemplating the end of this ceasefire between Iran and the United States. And indeed, President Trump has today said, in fact, the last 24 hours, it said the ceasefire is over, but talks continue between the two sides. So it's as confusing as it ever was. Of course, we had those rather low oil prices, which was treated very optimistically by markets across the world in terms of interest rates and growth. But we are seeing rising oil prices over the last few days, although they are fairly steady at the moment.
That's right. And I think that we'll continue to get updates probably over the weekend on this and how things are pushing forward or not. I think that in terms of what to expect, it's anyone's guess. This headline cycle has been going on for since it started. We've, had this rolling idea that, oh, the war is about to end. And then you get headlines like this, which is the war back on? Are we still, we were still simultaneously talking to Iran, the US, while at the same time, there was a report this morning that ships notably have turned back around to head back towards the Strait of Hormuz, presumably so. So, it's very confusing. It's like, on one hand, we're negotiating, on the other hand, things are back on. And I think that markets have, at least from the way they're postured today, it seems that markets have kind of gotten over this. They've shrugged off like, okay, we'll believe it when we see it kind of thing, because this headline fatigue is so back and forth that people are unable to draw any sort of conclusions. I think at the end of the day, the thing to watch is the oil price, and to watch if, barrels of oil are moving objectively through the Strait of Hormuz or not. I think that's what markets ultimately care most about.
And what about the next few days to come, Nick? What should we look out for?
So next week, the big report is going to fall on Tuesday. We have the U.S. Consumer Price Index, the CPI number. We will also be hearing from Kevin Warsh on Tuesday, as well as Governor Bailey from the Bank of England. And then when we look ahead to Wednesday, we have, following the CPI on Tuesday, we have the Producer Price Index, or PPI, on Wednesday for the U.S. We will hear from the Bank of Canada. Kevin Warsh is also testifying a second day there, Bank of Canada press conference. So it is action-packed in the early half of the week, and it continues. And Thursday, we get GDP numbers for the UK, and we get some retail sales numbers and Philly Fed manufacturing data for the US. And then we end out the Friday with University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.